Hello and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Lee Curtin. Now, Noel Valbon is still away, so we now have a squad thinner than Jose's himself. I am joined by one member tonight, the man up in Merseyside himself, Mr. Kofi.
Good evening. Am I survived the trip to the ground?
good man. So, for those of you that are up with this story, Kofi is our resident, you know, but now resides in on the side of the Mersey. So he was the extreme minority last week. So which will bring us straight on to that game, really. So I mean, you stayed up in Liverpool to watch it, didn't you, Kofi?
Well, what happened was one of the scousers I know got me a place on their coach to come down to the ground. So I had to scramble for a ticket on Friday and got a coach down and back with the Scousers to the game. Fortunately, sat in our end, but had to travel back with them. And what I can say is I'm so glad we put in a performance because it made my journey home a lot better.
Yeah, I bet it did. I mean, what is that? Is that a 5-hour trip?
Yeah, 4.5 hours. So yeah, it's 4.5 hours down, 4.5 back.
So take away the driver, who probably was a scouser.
He was.
That was 52 other seats or something, didn't it?
Absolutely.
I
wore my shirt. Got to wear my shirt.
I'm surprised they let you on, mate. Fair play to you. Absolutely fair play to you. So, listen, I mean, you touched on it there. I too was extremely glad we put in a performance because I think, like a lot of fans, we were quite nervous going into this, just based on Liverpool running away with the league and us not being particularly consistent at the moment and just shipping goals for fun. So, yeah, I too was definitely pleased with the performance. I mean, what was your thoughts then when you seen the team sheet?
Well, it was a surprise. I mean, I walked around from where I was to meet a few of the regulars. So I saw Rodney and Ivor, and they said, "Oh, have you seen the team?" I was like, "No." I had a look, and I was like, "Wow, wow again." So Tanganga and Rose. You know, I wasn't expecting to see Rose at all. But then, yeah, wasn't expecting the right-back position to be filled by someone new. And very impressed. You know, when you think about the way that people talk about Liverpool's front three, and actually Tanganga had Mane sewn up. Mane wasn't his rampaging usual best. So it was a great surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in two or three various kind of like Tottenham groups on the WhatsApps and stuff. And when that team sheet was released, it was popping off all over the place. It was like bing, bing, bing. And everybody's talking about Tanganga. I actually watched a lot of the pre-season games, the televised pre-season games. And Poch had him involved all the way. And he was heavily involved throughout the Audi Cup. And it was always Tanganga plus one, actually. It was Tanganga right. Plus Toby, Tanganga plus Jan. So he played a lot of pre-season games. I'm really, really impressed. And I know it's easy to, he's two games in now and we can all sit here and go, yeah, told you so, told you he's going to be decent. But again, he's another one for me that with all that's gone before him, I was just surprised he hasn't had a chance before now. It is a strange one. So I was pleasantly surprised to see him, if truth be told. And I did say in a couple of the groups he's gone with him because they're pacey up top, and we've got Jan and Toby, who, you know, share a parachute between them, so you don't want them running backwards. And then I was extremely surprised to see Rose on the left. I want to touch on that real quickly. I don't want to go into it too much, but Rose has been out injured and hasn't kicked a ball. He's returned to training midweek on the Wednesday or something silly like that. Wasn't spoken about in any of the media press conferences leading up to the game. And Jose's chucked him in. And obviously, like we try and point out here, it's not easy to just go back in and play a game when you to be match fit. Let alone against the sharpest three in the Premier League and possibly European football, we could go as far as to say. So I thought that was a little bit harsh because he got a bit of he got heavily critiqued in the press and by supporters afterwards, and they kind of had a little dig at him. And I thought it was a little bit unfair because, one, he's obviously gone in and done a job for the team. And no, he hasn't excelled. I wouldn't expect him to. But at the same time, I don't think Salah really got too much joy down that particular side of the pitch either. And it was one of Alexander-Arnold's quieter games.
It was interesting sitting in the other camp because the conversation going back up the M6 was about, should we sell Salah? Should we cash in on him? Mane and Firmino, oh yeah, they're our boys. But actually, Salah's had his best couple of seasons. Do we cash in? So you've got to say that while there were a couple of misplaced passes from Danny Rose, and you're quite right, not match fit, had some injuries, he kept them quiet down that side of the pitch to the extent where the Reds are thinking, you know, he's not quite our man anymore.
No. Well, they didn't get much joy down that side. And it is interesting that, you know, you touched on Tanganga and Mane. And, I mean, he comes onto the pitch. He's in a brand new stadium, making his home debut. And he's up against three of the sharpest players in European football. And in the second minute, he's clearing a ball off the line like an old season veteran. It was
it was
unbelievable, mate. It was like the ability to go behind the keeper, read it, and clear it off the line where a lot of players would have been chasing the ball around. You know, that was almost enough. There was, I see loads of comments where people going, that's it, it's fine, man of the match already. Done. It's all right. It's 3 minutes on the clock. It was brilliant. But I've not seen, and you just touched it, I've not seen Mane so quiet and so frustrated in a game of football in a long time. And very early on in the first half, he's running around, he's tripping people up and he's putting in the little kicks behind. He was probably frustrated. He knew he was up against somebody as quick as him and as strong as him. It was brilliant to see. It was good to see. And he'd obviously been coached. So he was going out, let Mane have that little bit of space. But when they knocked the ball into him, his first job was to get out to Mane as quick as he could on his first touch, second touch max. And he was on top of him and he played it really well and then just dropped back into that defensive line afterwards. I thought he played it really, really well.
Like you say, incredibly impressive, you know, to be as calm and assured as he was, but then also not to be bullied by a seasoned Premier League professional.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. He just took it all in his stride. He looked like he'd been out there, you know, since the start of the season, even last season. It looked so natural. And absolute testament to him. I thought he applied himself really well. As the game went on, obviously that he was the closest defender to Firmino, but I've got to be honest that he's a little bit special in his own right, Firmino, and not just his teeth. He's got a hell of a touch. And that was quick thinking, quick feet, and a great finish. And I don't think Toby or Jan or anybody would have done any better there, to be honest with you. I thought it was just a moment of, you know, just class.
The guy's got some skills. You know, we've seen that on Saturday and we've seen it in other games. But also, I'm sure, you know, my conversation before the game with other Spurs fans was, how many goals are they going to score? And are we going to be able to just hold on to them and keep it to a draw in some ways? So we always knew they were going to score. You look at our track record in the last few games, we're as leaky as you like. So I don't think you can blame any individuals for the goal. And the way that Liverpool play and the relentlessness that they normally have, actually, we've done well to keep it to one.
At that point, I agree. I thought they might. I thought after that, the next 10, 15 minutes was always going to be interesting because I thought we might have reverted to type and just kind of fold and panic and concede a little bit. But we had probably a 5-minute panicky spell, and then we kind of regained our composure a little bit. And then obviously we went on half time, second half. I think 60, 65 minutes, we kind of fought our way back into the game, realised that we could take something from it. My only kind of gripe was, and I thought Lamela was unlucky not to start, but there's kind of question marks over his actual match fitness. Him and Lo Celso came on. Did you not think the subs were 5 to 10 minutes too late? Or did you think they was on time? I thought it was a bit late.
I think they were a bit late because it was almost like we've got to half time. The game is still within our grasp. We can just change it around here and chase it. You know, we can get something out of the game. And I know that the Reds were really nervous. They were thinking, Tottenham will always come back. They'll always get a goal back. So they were sat there nervous. And you could hear, you know, as a set of away fans, they weren't that vocal until quite late into the half.
That's right. But
a little bit earlier, I'd like to have seen, you know, maybe it's going to come because of other performances. I'd like to have seen Lo Celso starting. I think it's great when you see him and Lamela are warming up and coming on because you think, right, there's a bit of aggression, a bit of dynamism, a bit of passion coming onto the pitch. But I think, you know, with everything that's happening in our midfield, I think the time's come for Lo Celso to start.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I think when we look back now, I know Liverpool fans and some will claim they thought they deserved it. I thought we deserved a draw in the end. I thought it was unlucky not to get a point. We had two great chances with Lo Celso and Sonny. I'm going to go more disappointed with Sonny's finish rather than Lo Celso's. I thought the pace of the ball that came across at Lo Celso and it just kind of bounced up on him at the last second. Compared to Sonny, who usually dispatches those all day, every day. I was a little bit disappointed with Sonny's finish more than Lo Celso's. What's your closing thoughts on that?
I think I have to agree. It really felt like we were going to come out of this at 1-1, and we had the chances and opportunities to do it. You know, it's not as if, you know, we didn't have any shots either on target or off target. And, you know, Sonny's got himself to a level, his level of play and his, you know, the way that he executes, that you think that kind of chance, he'll put it away. You're almost thinking, yep, it's fallen to Sonny, we'll be fine. So, you know, it's testament to the guy that we think of him in that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. We moved on to last night, Tuesday, where we was home to Middlesbrough in the FA Cup replay. A lot of fans unhappy and probably rightly so. Should have been a game dealt with in the first tie. However, I think it may have been a blessing in disguise in terms of actually getting certain players a bit of a run out and an additional game that we probably need and some of the players needed. So, we run out winners in the end, 2-1. A game that I thought we controlled very well, but just Tottenham being Tottenham, we have to, you know, just get everyone on the edge of their seats just before the end, just for the hell of it. But I thought we played very well. And it was brilliant to see Lamela, Lo Celso, Tanganga in again. And I've got to be honest, because I'm just not, they're just not my favourites at the moment. It was nice to watch a Spurs side without Serge in it. We just looked a little bit more controlled and not so panicky. And again, Tanganga stepped up. He took home the Man of the Match award. He made some absolutely amazing runs down the line. Hit a shot just past the post. I mean, what was your thoughts? What was your take on last night?
It was enjoyable, you know. At the end, it went down to sort of, oh, it's a relief. But generally, it was enjoyable. You know, I think we got out the traps quickly, attacked them. There was a bit of intensity, and it's something we've lacked. You know, we've lacked it until 20 minutes, half an hour, until the other team have scored. And then we think, oh, we might as well play today. But last night, it felt like actually we wanted to have a go from the beginning. And I think there must have been a sense of, actually, we should have finished this off. We should have beaten them up in Middlesbrough. So let's go for it. I think the atmosphere was great. It was an evening game, floodlights, which always adds to it. And I think the players were up for putting in a good performance. You mentioned the lineup that we had. I did hear today that the Africa Cup of Nations has moved back to January, February. So in future years, Serge will be captain of Ivory Coast and not necessarily at the lane for 6 weeks. So that could be helpful. But it was great to see Tanganga again, as you say. Fantastic defending. And then late on in the second half, marauding down the right, taking people on, flashing across the box. Incredible.
Absolutely. There was some big pluses, I thought. And you talk about intensity. So is it a coincidence that we were winning the ball up in the opposition's half and there was intensity and there was pressure? Is it coincidence that that's based on Lamela starting and Lo Celso starting?
There's direct correlation. And, you know, as we said earlier on, when they're there on the touchline, ready to come on in the second half, as they have done, then you sense that the dynamism in the team is going to change. And I think the fact that they were on from the start, you know, Lo Celso's goal was due to a bit of pressure, and not just him, but the team pushing forward and wanting it and forcing an error. Lamela did what he does. You know, he loves picking the ball up in midfield and running at people. You know, it's incredible how left-footed he is, but his finish was great. You know, he put it exactly where he needed to. Those guys, they're passionate about their football, and I, you know, truly believe they're passionate about Spurs. You know, I think part of that is to do with Pochettino, and I think part of that is to do with our reputation in Argentina. You know, going back to Ricky and Ozzy, I think Argentinians do like Tottenham Hotspur.
I agree, and I just you talk about passion there as well. I can go back to probably about 2 years ago, and I would have been the first person to be trying to offload Lamela every window possible. My brother and my nephew are season ticket holders, and my nephew is a big Lamela fan. He's a big Lamela fan, and sometimes we sit down and we have dinner. We have like a kind of like a Friday night dinner sometimes, and the arguments we used to have across the table. I'm like, nah, sell him. Not good enough. And he's adamant that Lamela's the man. I appreciate he's been out injured, and I think it's just repetitive injuries and lack of consistency. But the glimpses I've seen of him this season, he's what we need right now. You know, the way he applies himself when he comes onto the game, like you say, he plays like he cares. He shows passion. He wants to win. You can see he wants to win. And I think if one or two players do that, it almost becomes a bit contagious. Other players see it, and they play like that also. You know, they get on. It's quite interesting. Again, mixed opinions with young Sessegnon. And I say young intentionally because at 19 and just signed for his injured and just trying to make his way under a manager that didn't sign him in the first place, by the way. You know, he started off very nervous. Doesn't look like he wants to go past players. He started like that last night, but then actually made two or three runs as the game went on. And he looked a little bit more confident than usually.
I think it's interesting watching Sessegnon. I watched the game on the TV last night, and there's like a dichotomy with him, because yes, he's 19. And when the camera is close up in his face, he's frightened. You know, he's got this expression on his face of, what am I doing here? It's like someone's just thrown him onto the pitch and he's like, where am I? And then at the same time, he can get the ball at his feet, dribble past people, either have a shot, you know, he nearly scored last night, it was pretty close, great save from the keeper, or whip the ball across. And you're looking at him thinking, actually, he's in the right place, it fits, and it all works. And it's really strange to see that fear in his face, but the talent at his feet.
Yeah, I think it's just it's a matter of time with him, and I think once he gets a little bit fitter and once he believes a little bit more, I think the skeptical fans amongst us will see a half decent player there. One of the other things before we go on is obviously Mourinho has chosen to kind of free up Serge from his defensive duties and play him as almost his free man on the right hand side of the pitch. So you know he doesn't have to worry about tracking back, but he's encouraged to get forward and deliver crosses. Given Sessegnon's experience doing that role for Fulham in the Championship when they came up and in the Premier League, where he did struggle a little bit more, but them as a Fulham as a team struggled. I don't think it'd be the worst call if we did that on the left-hand side of the pitch and said to Sessegnon, we're going to give you the ball, you stay out of it, get down that line, get those crosses in. I thought if somebody backed him and gave him the confidence and that little bit of freedom and freed him up from certain duties, like we do with Serge, who's 8 years his senior and a captain of a national team, as pointed out, and he can't do it properly, why not gamble on a kid and say, okay, go at him. Show us that no fear that you displayed 2 years ago. Don't do that. Because he's got goals in him and he's got a delivery in him. So why don't we free him up on the left-hand side and attack down that side of the pitch from now every now and then?
There was an England documentary I watched some years ago, and it was talking about our midfield at the time. They were interviewing Paul Ince, and Paul Ince said, I love Gazza, and I just want to get the ball to Gazza and do what he does with it. And I've told him, if he loses it, not to worry, because I'll get it back and I'll give it to him. And I mentioned that because I think if Eric Dier was a solid defensive midfield player and you could absolutely rely on him, and I'm not saying we need him to be at Paul Ince's level, but if he was there and actually shielding the back four, then you can allow other players the freedom to go and play. So, you know, we need to shore up that position. It's, you know, I wouldn't know the number of people that have played in that position this season, but it's certainly not like having Wanyama in there for most of a season, or Dembele in the midfield for most of a season. This season, we've been chopping and changing, and we've not found the right player to play at the base of midfield. You kind of need to pair things up. You know, we can allow freedom, and I agree with you completely, but we need to be sure that actually if someone leaves us a ball or there's a misplaced pass, there's players there that can deal with it.
Yeah, agreed. So you touched on that kind of holding role and that midfield position. And I spoke about the positives in terms of Lamela and Lo Celso and Tanganga and a little bit of Sessegnon. In terms of negatives last night or disappointments rather than negatives, I'm gonna chuck Sanchez at ya, I'm gonna chuck Dier at ya, I'm gonna chuck Eriksen at ya. Is it time that we just take Eriksen out of the equation now and just kind of get the deal done and get him sent on his way? Is it time that we do something with Dier in terms of upping his fitness regime outside of the first team games? Because there's so many comments on his size and he's not fit. He's coming back from an injury and a really bad virus, by the way, absolutely shook him down to the bare bones. So he's by no means anywhere near the Eric Dier that we knew and the Eric Dier we came to love in terms of his performances and no nonsense. You can see he's not that guy. And last night was a perfect game for Sanchez to go, okay, I can do this. I can relax on the ball. I can play it out. And he looks like he looked like the most panicky defender out of everybody in show again last night. Chuck something at me, because these three absolutely blow my mind at the moment.
So, first off, Ericsson. I think Ericsson's been put in a hell of a situation. I don't think any of us will ever forget what he's given us over the last 5, 6, 7 years, in that he's been one of the best creative midfielders in the Premier League and in Europe. And he's played some incredible balls, scored some amazing goals, made some, you know, fantastic assists. And we'll always remember him for that. Unfortunately, he's in a situation now where he doesn't have a good performance and he's getting booed off the pitch, which I think is because his head's gone. And I'm not blaming him for that. I'm just thinking psychologically, he wants to be somewhere else. He said he wants to be somewhere else. And, you know, Mourinho has mentioned this. Genus mentioned this the other night on the TV, that while the player wants to play and has the ability to play, he's not 100% focused. You know, and we have to remember, we're talking about the Premier League here. You know, where people will tout it as the toughest, best, most entertaining league in the world. You've got to be on your mettle, absolutely. So any little percentage of do I want to be here? Do I want to make that extra run? Am I going to dive in? And some of it might even be subconscious. You know, it means that actually I don't think he should be playing. He doesn't deserve to be booed off.
No, and we kind of touched on that last week, and I fully agree. And you know, for anybody who does listen, he's as you rightly point out, in terms of assists and goals and creative midfield players, he's the second highest in the Premier League statistically. And you know, we can't let that get away from us. And although I'm done with him, and I'll openly just shout number 23. I'm kind of done with him, but I wouldn't pull him off the pitch. I wouldn't slag him off or shout obscenities to him, tell him get out of our club. I think all of that sort of stuff is nonsense. I find that very un-Spurs like, and I hate to see it. For anybody that does listen, I don't encourage that. I just think we just kind of, let's not forget, as you rightly point out, the 8 years that he's kind of given us up onto this point. You know, there's been some incredible assists in there. There's some incredible free kicks, some incredible goals, but something's not right and he's gone. And it's painful to watch. It's painful to see him hitting the first man consistently. It's painful to see him hitting a wall consistently and hitting it in a rose head last night. It's painful to see, but you're right. He's put in that position, you know, cause we're rolling him out to play. And, you know, does Jose have to take a little bit of that on the shoulder? Because is Jose playing him because we're just trying to get as many games out of him until the end of January and give some of the other players a bit of a breather?
Oh, no, I think it's absolutely the case. You know, it's you know, we've got a league game coming up. We want to keep climbing up the Premier League. So, you know, game on Tuesday night, let's stick in someone who doesn't necessarily need to be fit for the weekend, but can add something to the team. But it creates a situation whereby he isn't performing and people start to look at him negatively. So I think, you know, the fairest thing is not to play him. You know, we all know what's going to happen in the next few weeks, or it may happen in the summer, but eventually he's going to leave the club. And that's fine. You know, he's given us loads. You know, he's given us, there are some players that have been at our club for less than 8 years that we, you know, hold on a high pedestal. So, you know, he's done a great job for us.
Agreed. Well, like we said, there's, you know, let's, for anybody listening, let's not try and jump on the booing bandwagon. I don't think that's quite us as a club and as a fan base. Let's kind of just remember, you know, the statistics that are laid out by him, and yeah, let's not put him in a bad light, you know, in the last few games. So, touching on the other two real quick.
So, Eric Dyer. I don't think Di is quite fit yet, you know, and fitness brings a lot. You know, you can have that talent, you can have that skill, but if you're not quite fit, it's not so easy to execute.
He's a size, by the way. If you see Eric Dyer up close, he's a size of a man. And when you carry that sort of size and that sort of weight, you need to be absolutely on point in terms of your fitness, because trying to carry that frame around, you know, you need to be at your athletic best. And, you know, if he's not 100% fit, it's always going to be a struggle. And when he's not 100% fit, it really, really shows.
Absolutely. So he'll get fitter, and he's got ability. He's shown that in previous seasons. So he'll come back. He'll come back. And then thinking of Sanchez, I think it's not all about him. I think a number of people will have seen this, where our centre-backs play the ball into either Eriksen or Winks, and they play it back to them. And there's times when you think, actually, guys, why isn't someone shouting turn? Because there's no one behind you. You are the creative guys. You need to be taking the ball on into midfield. So we're putting pressure on our centre-backs because we're giving them the ball back when they don't necessarily want it or need it. And then that's forcing them to kind of think, well, I need to do something with this. Now, if the ball's on, Toby plays that cross-field ball over the top, which is fantastic. And I think Sanchez sometimes feels, I need to do something here, or gets tied up in knots and has no one to pass it to. I think when he first came to the club and he was playing in almost a back five, but it was with wing backs, where he was the central centre back between Toby and Jan. He looked great, because actually all he needed to do was clean things up, you know, get the header in, get the ball clear. He wasn't being asked to play through and play a pass. And I think that's what's catching him out. We're forcing him into, like, you make a decision, you do something, whereas actually it's the midfield players that should be doing it.
Agreed. Actually, it's not a bad shout, actually. He did sit between them two, and we had wing backs that could actually get down the line and push teams back, actually. So he wasn't even as exposed to as much ball as he probably is now. So yeah, probably goes some way to add into his troubles. But yeah, I would still like to see a little bit more. And you know, when you do see the young lad Tanganga, his composure, his calmness on the ball, and it makes you wonder, really. You know, if we pay 40 mil for Sanchez, you know, and you've got Tanganga floating around in the youth team or the age groups just below, you know, it does make you scratch your head a little bit. But onwards and upwards, and we move on, and on to Southampton in the next round, I believe. And we owed them. So we will see them in round four. Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. We are away to Watford, who have just run into an incredible bit of form under Nigel Pearson. I was looking at the current form table, and they sit third, taking 19 points out of 21. So I'm having a bit of deja vu here in terms of when we ran into Southampton. How do you see this one padding out? What would you be happy to take away from that game?
Watford, you know, climbing out of the bottom three. We are towards the top of the table, and we want to be in the top four. So absolutely, on paper, you look at it and think, we've got to win this game. Now, given form, we're just about hopefully turning a corner. You know, we've put in a couple of better performances. We've only let in two goals in two games, which is better than previous. And Watford, as you say, they've really picked up, and they're firing a little bit. At the same time, we've got to beat them. You know, the caliber of player that we've got at our club, we've got to feel confident, go out there and beat Watford. You know, we we haven't changed the personnel massively from the last couple of seasons. We all know that. So the players are the same. They've got the same ability. They've got the same skill. They've got to go out there with a bit of fight and a bit of confidence.
Yeah, agreed. So, I mean, they're going to, you know what you get with Watford, especially if Troy Deeney's played. They're going to be physical. They're going to get it up the pitch as quick as they can. Decore's going to join in from midfield and try and pick up the scraps. So you know what you're getting with them. How do you see us setting up? You're going to go, what would you go with? You go three at the back or you're going to go with the four? Does Tanganga play for you? Do you bring Aurier back in? How are you setting yourself up here?
I really want to see Tanganga play again. So, you know, my first thoughts is you go with a three, because I think playing Liverpool, we had to go with a four at the back because of the way their wing backs would push on, and we needed to support have defenders and midfielders supporting each other. So I think we can go with a three and look to get on the front foot. But then you think, okay, where does Tanganga play? You know, do we leave Vertonghen out and put him in? Because to me, he doesn't play at wing back. He's got to play as one of the three. So that, you know, leaves a little situation there. Do you put Vertonghen on the left? Do you leave him out? What's his future? Is he staying? You know, there's lots of little question marks there. But I think when you've got a guy on such form and with such confidence, both defending and attacking, he's got to play. Otherwise, as we've said, I'd like to see Lo Celso starting. I think, you know, I'll say it again, the dynamism, the passion that he's got, and getting over the hip injury that he had, you know, he's now, we're now seeing the player that he can be. So I think he's got to play. Up front, I don't think we've kind of solved it yet in terms of whether it should be Moura on his own or Sonny on his own. But I think Moura has shown that he's got an appetite for it. He's getting those shots away, some of them a little bit wild, but he's having a go. He was very selfish.
Yeah, he's tenacious, isn't he? He is tenacious. He will fight for you as well. And he has got, like you say, he has the ability to create opportunities on the other side of that. He's very Lamella-like in that respect, isn't he? He can go back, win the ball for you. You know, he won't just hang his head if he loses it. But sometimes the end product is just a little bit erratic. But you're probably saying that you'd want to see him out there, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd want to see him up top. And I think, actually, while Sonny might be more composed as the main striker, he's invaluable in midfield. You know, the taking on a man and playing someone else in, or getting down the line and crossing it in, or the thing that he loves to, you know, pick the ball up 20 yards out on either side of the box and cut inside. I think you'll lose all of that if you're playing him up top. So I think Sonny, as one of the three or the five in the midfield, works. And then more up top.
Okay. I think the defensive line is going to be intriguing. It's going to be an interesting one for me. Do we go with the three or do we go with the four? Do we go with Tanganga? Do we bring Serge back? Just the way we've been. I'm thinking that he drops Jan again. And I think he may go free and he will drop Jan, push Tanganga back in there. So you got Sanchez, Tanganga and Toby. Maybe Serge back in that right wing back, unfortunately for me. Cess on the left and then probably Winks. I'd like to see Lamella start. Winks, Lamella, Ali and Sonny. And then you're tossing a coin with Lucas and Lo Celso. And I think he will start with Lucas with a view to bringing Lo Celso on again. And I think that should be enough. That should be enough to you know, push Watford back. There's a battle at the back. We've got pace. We've got strength at the back to deal with them. And in terms of creativity and pace going forward, we've got, you know, we pose a serious threat there ourselves. So Yeah, I'm hoping we've got enough there. So, I mean, but neither of us has mentioned number 23. So he doesn't play for you.
No.
Just that.
Can elaborate.
No, it's fine. That's enough. He doesn't need elaborating, mate. I think we've all seen enough. It's fine. All right, then. Well, hit me. What are you going with? Give me a score.
2-1.
You've gone with Valbon's Tourette's 2-1.
Yeah, I think we've got enough to beat them, but we're going to let in a ridiculous goal. I think Watford are all about second ball and attitude and getting in your face. And I think, you know, it'll bounce around and they'll get it before we do, which is unfortunate. But I think we've got enough to get a couple of goals against them.
Okay. Well, I do kind of want to go with that. I do want to go with that. But I think the narrow defeat to the Scousers, our first win of 2020 on Tuesday night. I'm gonna go with 3-1 with a late goal to us. Just we're gonna be squeaky bum time, edge of seats. They're gonna be putting it on us, and then we're gonna go up the other end and just finish the game off. So it will be 2-1 for a long period, and I'm fancying us and I'm backing us to put a third in the net and finish them off. with my fingers crossed. I'm just hoping. So I think we've both kind of gone with Tanganga there. So I just want to elaborate real quick on this. Everybody's been massively impressed with what they've seen. He is predominantly a centre back. He showed on Tuesday night playing right back. Doesn't look like it's gonna be a problem for him. And he probably got forward more than Serge has done in the last two games that he's played. We here, as everybody knows, and anybody who's listened, we here are massive KWP fans. I feel even more upset for him now that Tanganga got a chance. All right, he's taking it, but KWP get chucked in some stupid games, ridiculous games, after just being dragged up and down the country and not getting a sniff after time. If Tanganga can do it, surely KWP can do it. But has Tanganga now just catapulted himself in front of KWP as a potential backup right back?
Well, I think it was interesting that a couple of weeks ago, we weren't even playing right back. You know, we'd changed the formation to suit Aurier and shifted everyone across. You know, as we said, the way that Liverpool play, it made sense to have four at the back. So obviously the right back position came in. And the performance, wow, it was incredible. So without a doubt, I feel he's absolutely leapfrogged KWP. And, you know, the rumours are that Ben Davis is on his way back. So then you don't see KWP getting an opportunity at right back or left back. You know, it's tough on the lad. As you say, gets thrown into games. It's like, oh, we only need to get a point out of Barcelona, you can go and play. That's tough for anybody, and particularly an academy graduate.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you said, even just pointed out there, we don't usually play a right back to free up Serge from obviously defensive duties. And now Tanganga has come in and played right back. So that mean that we can play a right back. It can be Tanganga, and we can play a proper midfielder and leave Serge on the bench.
Hey.
Can we send this on to Jose before Saturday morning? So we've done it for him. We've nailed it. He doesn't need to include Serge, and he doesn't need to move a whole formation around to suit him and free him up from his defensive duties, despite the fact that he's known as a right-sided defender. You're welcome, Jose. You're welcome. So we're banging in the middle of the transfer window, and shock horror, we've only gone out and signed somebody. So the thing I love most show wants to be one of the first to welcome to White Hart Lane, Gedson Fernandez. Kofi, do you know what we are getting? Because there's not much excitement. There's a lot of don't know much about him. And it's obviously not the kind of, it's not Bruno Fernandes, let's put it that way. So what's your take on it? Are you pleased to see him? Are you happy we've just gone out and got another body? You're hoping it is somebody a bit more established. What's your take?
I'm really excited about it, truly, because from what I've read, he's a star or a rising star of Portuguese football. You know, one of these wonder kids that is going to come through. Box-to-box midfielder, which is exactly what we're after, with a bit of flair. And Benfica, you know, while they're not at the top of the tree in terms of European football in the way that it used to be, they are absolutely steeped in football and turn out player after player. So if you've grown up at Benfica, you'll be all right. I think another aspect, I read today that while he's been in Lisbon playing his football, his family have all been living in London for some time. So in a sort of strange twist, he's not moving away from his family and the people he knows. He's moving into the bosom of his family. So he's going to feel comfortable living in London, which is great. You know, that transition is going to be easier for him. I don't think we can look at him as he's going to play in a couple of weeks and he's going to be amazing and he's the answer to everything we wanted this season. You know, as a young guy coming into the Premier League, I think it's going to be a few, it's that sort of settling him in. It's going to be a few starts, a few subs, and then he'll get into his stride. But no, really excited. And not just that he's here now, but the fact that there's a clause for us to be able to buy him after the 18 months.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, as you pointed out, I watched the interview with him, and the I also picked up on the fact that he's got family here in London already, which probably swung it. Obviously, West Ham were one of the first teams to make an offer for him and get that agreed. So do you think, obviously, when he flew into London, the fact that he could reside in a house rather than a caravan that kept moving around swung him towards Tottenham?
I think so. You know, it's the Claret's a bit garish as well, you know, so he's probably thought, actually, North London works for me.
I'm guessing so. No offence to any Spurs fans who live in caravans, by the way. So we're still a striker short. We still look a bit light in the attacking department. There is rumours that we're trying to sign the Cape Verde international striker, who's currently at Porto, Z Lewis. Now, I've had a little look at the stats, and he doesn't excite me. He's having his best season ever, and he's 20, he's 27, 28. He's decided to have his best season ever, which is 9 goals in 70 matches in the Portuguese league. We've kind of been scorned by Portuguese strikers before. There's other options out there. I'm not sure he's the one. But that remains to be seen. And again, at this point, it's probably only just rumours. There's been typical media rumours about players like Cavani, who, you know, reasonably, under the circumstances that we're looking from somebody from now to the end of the season and then back up probably for next season, who would you like to see in that striker role?
It's a really interesting one, because it's who do we buy? You know, there's a classic quote from Morata from a few years ago that I can't go there because I'm not going to sit on the bench. So we're not going to get the number 9 from another team who is world-class or who wants to play in the Champions League, because they are going to be sitting on the bench at some point, either at the end of this season or certainly next. And, you know, one of the rumours I've seen is Llorente coming back. And I think, actually, it's not a bad shout, because the crosses that we've been putting in the last two games, Llorente would have got on the end of one of them.
Well, considering 23 started to put a bit of leather behind it, they're flying over everybody else's heads now, so maybe one of them would have bounced off Fernando's head. So yeah, I did see that. It did tickle me, and he might get a bit more love than somebody coming in and trying to prove themselves from scratch again.
And he score, you know, he knows that he's not going to be every week number 9.
No, this is true. So I mean, we're going out. We're obviously looking for someone. Was it a little bit disappointing for you that we haven't seen a little bit of Troy Parrott. And I say a little bit because, I mean, he's not even getting 5-10 minutes. He's not even on the bench. And I get he's 17 and I get we don't want to put a lot of pressure on him. But, hey, when Tim Sherwood had nobody to rely on, he just went in, took Harry out, bang. The rest is history. Are we missing a trick by not letting him have a crack against Middlesbrough and teams like that? Or when we're desperate for a goal that he's not the third sub going on up top, are we missing something there?
I think we are. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's read a lot about Tanganga this week. And it's, you know, what I've read is said that he's been playing with the first team for some time. And in the last couple of weeks, he was in the, you know, the first team in training and kind of knew that he'd be playing very soon because he was in position on the training pitch. So surely that's what you do with Parrott. You put him in the first team starting 11 in training so that he starts to feel comfortable and starts to be able to play with the regular first teamers so that when he gets his 5, 10, 15 minutes or half a game, he's not in a brand new situation. You know, he knows the way that Sonny's going to put the ball into him. He knows when Toby's looking to play that ball. You know, he knows he needs to start running because Aurier's going to smash one across the box. So surely, you know, in training, that's where you're preparing him for the match. It's not, I'm throwing you on. It's actually, you know, the environment you're playing in, just go and do what you do on the training park.
Yeah, agreed. So, well, we're there now. We have probably another 2.5 weeks left. So I guess we're hoping definitely for a forward to come and join the ranks to ease the pressure from those around. And if we could pull off one more signing, I guess it'd be nice just to freshen everything up. So onwards and upwards. We've kind of hit the ground now in 2020. I feel like we've arrived now. We've seen a couple of decent performances. We've got our first win under our belts. We're down to conceding one goal a game. So things are on the up. So long may it continue. And I always like to finish. I always like to kind of just chuck it out there whenever we can remember. I was home last week watching some of the games and catching up. And big shout out to the Tottenham ladies. They're playing their first season in the women's Super League, in the women's FA Premier League. And they're currently sitting fifth. And if there's any West Ham fans around you, let them know that we did it again. Sorry, West Ham, we did it again. We scored in the injury time, beat them 2-1. And takes us up to fifth in the women's Premier League in their first season. They're doing amazingly well. They go away to Man United this weekend, which ain't going to be no easy feat. They came up with them last season. And then they are at home in the Women's FA Cup the following weekend. They play their games at the Hive, Barnet Stadium, and it's like almost nothing to go and watch them. So if there's any listeners, got your little girls and you want to go down and watch a game, it's only a couple of quid, 3 to 5 quid. We've got some decent players there. So well done to the ladies. Keep up the good work. Boys at the Lane, keep up the good work. I feel we've turned a little bit of a corner. Let's keep it positive. Let's really go out the rest of the season. Let's go out the SFA Cup. Let's put that in the bag and let's chase down that fourth position. And let's start on Saturday with a naughty win against Watford. Come on, you Spurs.